Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Ciao, Melissa.
Hi, Morgan. How are you?
Superbly well, thank you. Glad to see you. Glad to be with you again.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you kindly. Appreciate
yes.
it. Got a good guest today.
We do. Kelly, do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Certainly. My name's Kelly Wells, and I'm a forensic specialist for the Forensic Services Unit of the Newport News Police Department.
Mm. Forensics.
I know. I feel like I'm on the witness stand already for court.
Well, thank you for reaching out to us and coming to do the show with us today. We know you had some different things going on in your calendar, so it's exciting that you're here. We get to debunk some things today, maybe.
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
Yes.
Yeah, and you and I, for the record, Melissa, you'll agree with me. I know you will. You have one of the most fascinating and interesting jobs on our agency.
Yes.
It does not lack being interesting or being exciting. It
right.
certainly is both of those and then some.
Right. And so. when we say forensics technician, oftentimes on television, we hear crime scene technicians. That's the equivalent? Is
yes,
that fair
that's
enough?
The equivalent. Crime scene investigator, crime scene technician. There's a couple different ways to say it. You name it, that's what I do.
Right. So before we get into that, where are you from originally?
I actually grew up in Williamsburg, did all my schooling there, and then my senior year of high school, my mom, we had moved down here to Newport News, and they actually let me travel back and forth so I could finish my senior year in Williamsburg. But she had moved down here, and then I had moved down here with her, of course, and drove back and forth to finish, and then I ended up going to Christopher Newport.
University.
Yes, university.
And you. All right.
Wow. And did you major in forensics?
I did not.
Really?
Really. I majored in fine and performing arts with a theater concentration. So my joke for the longest time was that I can act like I know what I'm doing. But what was really funny is that there was a government professor at CNU at the time who was a former police officer, and I was very into photography. I have a very heavy photography background, and he told me, he goes, well, I can get you into crime scene photography if that's something that you'd be interested in. And I was like, ew, gross, no. So it certainly wasn't something that I dreamed of doing my whole life, like some people do. Some people, that's what they want to do from day one. They want to get into forensics, and that's what their whole schooling is about. But that was not the case for me. And my journey is a little different, but it still has been a worthwhile journey, and I've loved every minute of it, wow. most of it.
So how did you make the leap? How did you make the
yeah,
jump?
How'd that happen?
Well, it initially started, it's my mom's fault. She had wanted me to get a job with good benefits working for the city. I was actually working at a film processing lab, this dates me, but working at a film processing lab / portrait studio. And she had told me, she was like, there's this position in police records for an administrative assistant. I really think you would like working there. I think you would like the job. This is the last day that you can send in your resume. I have your resume on my computer. Can I please send it in for you? I said, okay, fine. And she's like, good, I already did. So I ended up getting the job in police records. Working evening shift and working the information desk, and we would listen to the dispatch radio for South evenings. And of course, we'd hear all the foot pursuits and all the excitement going on. Anytime anything major happened, we'd hear it on the radio. And I just love listening to the police radio because I'm nosy and I want to know what's going on. And so that kind of inspired me that I even, you know, tinkered with the idea of being a police officer. But I definitely wanted to be where the action was. And the forensics position came open. And so I was like, I'm going to apply for it. And so I did. And I studied everything I could get my hands on for evidence processing, crime scene processing, evidence handling. And I went and interviewed. And I had already developed the reputation of being a hard worker, being dependable. Mm. I had actually been awarded Civilian of the Quarter prior to my interview. So I had put myself in a good position, and they were impressed with how I did. Now, I wasn't number one pick, and that's okay. But obviously, it worked out in my favor, and I still got the job. They took a chance on me and gave me the job, and I just took full advantage of it from there.
And how long have you been at it now?
19 years.
Wow.
Are so you, 21 you, total on the department, but
really?
19 in forensics.
Are you the most senior forensic technician?
I am the most senior forensic technician, which is so weird because I think now the people that were in forensics when I started were basically my age that I am now. And then I'm old enough to be most of the other members, like mother. And I'm like, how did this happen?
Right.
It's weird.
How did this happen?
You don't
it's
even
so
see it coming. I know. Right. I know.
But I enjoy it. It's different every single day. You have days that, you know, you're stuck doing paperwork, data entry, and it can be boring. And then you have days where it's like all hell breaks loose. It's crazy. So, but yeah, I very much enjoy it. It's very rewarding. I feel like my job, my role is to kind of be that final voice for the victim.
Right.
A lot of what I do, people always ask, well, how can you do it? You see such horrible things. And it's true, I do. But I look at it as I'm there. It's not about me being shocked and getting upset. It's not about me. It's about that person. And I have a job to do. And I need to do that job meticulously and almost perfect, if not
right.
perfect.
Right.
And that's where my focus needs to be. And so you kind of remove yourself out of it in a sense to where that person is your focus and you want to make sure you don't miss anything. You want to make sure you collect everything properly. You want to do everything that needs to be done because you have one chance to do it and that's it.
Right.
And if you miss something, most of the time you can't go back and get it. So you've got to be focused on what's important and not what you're feeling.
Right. And the quality of your work and the product that you put out speaks directly to oftentimes whether a conviction or not is forthcoming.
Yes. I testify often in court. I testify a lot to different evidence. I've testified in multiple federal cases. And it's like every few months, it seems like within the last year, they're like, oh, this case of yours might go federal. And I'm like, well, I guess I should be flattered, but stop it. It's more stressful.
Right. And so how, I guess it begs the question, you see so many terrible things, mm-hmm. right? Violent things. How do you keep coming to work? What keeps you coming to work every day knowing that there's a possibility or probability that you're going to encounter another horrible scene? What keeps
right.
you going, coming back?
Well, you know, it's also like a puzzle. It, as much as it's horrific, it's also really interesting. And you want to put the pieces of the puzzle together to get the full picture. You want to do that service. And there's plenty of victims' families that I've made connections with. And that's very rewarding. I try not to do that too much because it's like, okay, if I'm talking to too many people, then I'm going to get emotional. You know,
right.
I'm going to,
sure.
you know, sympathetic crier. So it's like I limit that kind yeah. of contact. But you see how the work that you do affects the families and how it can give them some kind of resolve. It doesn't necessarily bring closure all the time. It doesn't necessarily bring them peace, but it does give some kind of resolve that they are so grateful for. And to me, that's huge because I'm like, if there's any time in your life to feel selfish and not be grateful, this is the time when you're a victim or your family is a victim of a violent crime. That's the one time you can certainly be selfish and no one's going to criticize that. And so for these people to still find that within themselves, I think really is inspiring. And so as much as it's violent and horrible and morbid, there's just such a bigger picture to it. And like I said, you have to kind of remove yourself from the emotion of it in the moment. And, you
wow.
know, if you want to go home later and have, you know, a breakdown, stuff your face full of chocolate, you know, to make yourself feel better and have a good cry, go home and do that.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but dealing with the second side of that, when mm-hmm. everything is said and done, is over with, and you've had to be on some of these horrible crime scenes that you guys respond to, mm-hmm. are there ways that the department has put in kind of safe checks for you guys, and every now and again you have to go and do certain things just to make sure that because your health and your wellness is right. important as well. So what kinds of things are you guys doing for that?
Well, we do see the department psychiatrist once mm-hmm. a year, kind of as a check-in,
right.
just to see how we're doing.
Yeah.
Chief Drew has been very supportive of our mental health and very concerned about our mental health.
Yeah.
And we also have the SISM group whenever there is, you know, a big event that helps offer assistance. There's the, you know, employee counseling that if we need it, we can take it. I even started going to therapy a few years ago just because I felt like, you know, I feel like in someone in my job that you have, you know, a certain limit that you can reach. And then you're like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
And I kind of felt like that limit was creeping up on me. And so I started going to therapy for a little bit just to kind of learn better coping skills.
Right.
And to me, there's no shame in that.
There shouldn't be. Right.
And I have felt so much better since I do it. I don't go to therapy that much now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still regularly check in, but I don't go as much now because they gave me those other skills that I can help try to use to cope. And a lot of that has to do with self-care, which I was bad about self-care. But that's one big thing that I learned from therapy. So I think all those things are important. It's good to have solid relationships with friends and family. Mm-hmm. Those are other ways that can help you cope with the hardships of the job. And I have a very supportive family. My nephew, I have two nephews. They're practically grown now. But when they were little, all they knew about my job was that I helped the police put bad guys in jail. That's all I would tell them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell them anything else. I didn't right. want them to know anything else. I wanted to keep them sheltered for as long as I could. And one day, I don't remember how old he was, but he was still relatively young. My oldest nephew came up to me, and of course, my youngest nephew followed behind. And my oldest was like, Kelly, do you see dead people when you go to work? And I said, my big thing was I wasn't ever going to lie to them about it.
Sure.
So I said, yes, yes, I do. And it's sometimes very sad. And he's like, that's so cool. You know, and I'm like, oh, great. Wow. So
I imagine, Kelly, that you lean on each other at work as well with your colleagues because you mm-hmm. experience the same things.
We do. And, you know, some of that's people in my unit and some of that's detectives, some of that's officers. You know, you especially the people that you work with regularly, you know, there's oftentimes that I might see the same officers or the same detectives at a scene. And you form a bond with them and have that extra connection. And you spend time together. And they're the ones that can be like your sounding board when you have a hard case. Especially, you know, the people that I have close bonds with in my own unit. But like I said, it's not limited to my unit. It's the officers, detectives, supervisors that you make those connections with that you can really be like, hey, I'm having a hard time, right. you know. Can you just, you know, hang out and let me vent for a minute, you know?
Sure. So because it's such a tough job and you see so many things that are traumatizing.
Yes.
What do you do to decompress? What do you do off duty to kind of get away from it?
I like to go out to eat.
You are okay. a foodie.
Are
I am
you?
A foodie.
Really?
Yes,
I am a big
is.
Foodie. I do like to eat. My waistline doesn't like it so much, but I do like to eat. I do like to go out to restaurants. I pretty much know all the good restaurants in the area.
Okay.
And then one of the aggravated assault detectives, Detective O'Neill, she lives on the south side. And I've been you know, trying to explore more stuff with her on the south side, because I'm just such a homebody, like on this side of the water, that she's kind of expanding my knowledge, you know, outside of the Newport News Hampton area. So that's fun. But
so you're willing to try foods that others might not?
Oh, yeah.
Any interesting things you've eaten?
I've tried octopus before. I don't like it.
It's good stuff. Oh, you don't like it? Is it a textural thing?
Yeah.
It's got to be cooked right.
Yeah, I don't like it. But yeah, I do have like my select favorite restaurants, and most of it is not like chain restaurants. It's like
mom and pop type places,
yeah. There's Circa 1918 that's in Hilton.
Shout out to Hilton.
Right off of Main Street.
Yes, and the people that own it and work there are fantastic. But they're great. And then there's a new restaurant that's going to be going in that area soon. So I'm excited to try that out. And usually whenever there's a new restaurant or something coming up, I'm like, okay, we got to go.
Now, off-duty, do you still do the photography thing?
Nope.
Okay. So that's a strictly non-duty thing. Okay.
It's funny because I used to do a ton of portrait photography.
I remember. Yeah.
And I did that a lot. And I think part of it is because, and I guess you can look at it as a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I was very into photography. I have lots of like really artsy fartsy photographs. I have my own photography hanging up in my house. Did a lot of black and white photography, infrared photography, and it was very artsy and I love it. And but I think because I spend so much of my time with the camera up to my face, that I don't want to do that on my free time anymore. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Every now and then I'll get, you know, inspired and be like, oh, it's snowing, I'm going to go take photos, you know. But I like to do that. And like I said, you know, spending time with family and friends. I like cultural stuff, you know, museums, art shows.
Yep. Got a question for you. And I apologize for interrupting, but popped up in my head. So we see a lot of television and movies that portrays forensics technicians as being this or that. Has that helped or hurt our profession?
I think it's hurt our profession. I mean, I can't say I've never processed a crime scene in heels, but it doesn't happen very often.
Okay.
And can you wrap up a case in 30 minutes? To finish?
No, I wish. Yeah. No.
Some of these cases can go on for over a year, correct?
Yeah. They can go on for years if you want to include court.
Yeah.
But there's, I think, the longest crime scene that I have worked. And granted, we had breaks at night where they held the scene overnight. We sealed the doors. And then we'd go home, sleep for a little bit, and come back the next day. Was 8 days, which was insane.
Of straight work?
Yes. Wow. And you went home to sleep, and that was it. And you came back and went like a full, I'm talking about like 10, 12-hour day.
Your whole shift.
Yeah, it was more than your shift, normal shift. And it was a lot of work. And I think that's one thing that people don't realize so much today coming into it, is that they don't realize how much work this job is. It's hard work. It's the hardest you'll ever work, ever. And I think the same thing goes for police work, but certainly for forensics. You know, you get dirty, gross. You can work your 8-hour shift and get ready to go home, and then a call comes out, and you're working another 8 hours easy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people are surprised when I tell them I have to touch dead bodies. And it's like, that's unpleasant, but that's a big part of it, too.
It's necessary,
and
right?
People don't realize that. They're surprised by that, which surprises me.
Right.
I'm like, well, somebody's got to do it.
Right.
So.
Right. I imagine you develop some incredible relationships with the people you work, because you're all in it together. Patrol, the detective side. I mean, there's a very strong bond. And I imagine, I can tell you when I worked the road, and that was a little bit ago.
Yeah.
When you show up, it was always like, hey, Kale, how you doing? Good to see you. How's everything going? Type thing. And I would be remiss if I did not mention, by the way, that I believe I met your mother before I met you.
Okay.
Shirley,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And Shirley, your mother, actually led this, where we're sitting at right now, in this studio, Newport News Channel. She led this department.
She did. And there's still people that work here that worked with her that I spoke to when I first came in. So.
Super nice lady. Super.
Yes.
And that's how,
she's
and
great.
That's kind of sort of how we met. Yeah, she's a nice lady.
I'll keep her.
No doubt about it. So, Matt, we're going to check in with you. How are we doing on time?
Doing pretty well. If we want to move on to rapid fire here pretty soon, then we can certainly do that.
All right. Sounds good. Would you like to start with question number one?
I would.
Here we go.
You ready?
All right.
Birthday I'm
twin.
Ready.
We All have right. the same birthday twin. Just in yes. case nobody knew that.
Okay. Yeah.
We are birthday
you
twins.
You share a birthday?
The best birthday ever.
Best birthday ever. Wow. March the 10th.
That's so nice. Yeah.
Best birthday. All right. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Favorite movie of all time?
Oh, my gosh. The Usual Suspects.
Kaiser Soze.
Yes. Kaiser Soze.
I had never seen that movie.
Oh, you have to see it.
You've got something on the line up for the weekend.
Okay.
Usual Suspect.
All right, thanks for the recommendation. All right, here we go. If you could only pick one decade listen to the music from, would it be the 80s, 90s, or 2000s? It's a tough question, isn't it?
I guess the 80s.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I was kind of torn between 80s and 90s, but I think I'm going to have to say 80s.
It's fine. I'll take the 90s.
That's will you take the 90s?
I will totally
Come on,
take
Melissa.
The 90s. Yes, I'll
really?
Take the 90s.
The 80s. Mm-mm. The 80s were a hit. Some of the best music came out of the 1980s.
I'll give it to you, but not the best because that's the
90s. Where's Kelly King? Where's Kelly King at? She'll agree with me.
We need reinforcements.
We need reinforcements. All right.
All right. I think I already know the answer to this one.
Okay.
Favorite type of pet? Dog?
Cat.
Cat. How many do you have now, Kelly?
I now have four.
Four cats.
Yes. I used to have five.
Okay.
But one was really old, and sadly, 2 years ago, he passed away.
Sorry to hear that.
And I would get another one. I want another one. My mom said no.
Okay.
So.
Cats are mine also. How about you?
Oh, no. I'm a dog lover.
Oh, really?
I have a Belgian, my Malagator at home. Just one. One's all I can handle.
Okay.
He's a good 90
High
pounds.
Energy or?
Oh, he's a mess. Yes. He's
we have three
all
cats.
Over the place.
Kel, I'm with you. We have three cats.
I'll give you the
awesome.
Cats.
Yep.
Awesome.
Little Princess Quincy and Buster.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. Love those cats. I did not love the cats like I do now. My wife introduced me to cats.
I have Blue, Lulu, Smokey, and Bella. And then the one that passed away was Fat Cat, who I often would call Fatty.
Oh, they have great personalities, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the best.
Absolutely. What is one must-have item on your bucket list?
Oh, my gosh.
It's a tough question.
Must-have.
Must-have.
On your bucket list.
On my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anything that I have to have at all times?
No, one something that you...
Or that just, I don't have.
What? Right now you don't have it, but you like it. It could be anything.
Lots of money.
I'm winning the lottery, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm
winning the lottery.
I could go with that. Could you go with that, too?
100%.
I think this is the first time we've had 100%.
All
right?
three of us
All
on
three
the
of
same
us on.
Page.
Okay, here we go with the last one.
Biggest pet peeve.
My biggest pet peeve. I have so many of them. Okay, I'll narrow it down.
Okay.
Is when, like, people... hum like out loud around other people or sing. I'm like, no one wants to hear you sing. Stop it. It's like nails down a chalkboard for me that I'm like the constant noise. I don't like it.
Wow.
I don't like it.
For me, it's mean people.
Mm.
Have a tough time.
Well, that's
that.
A better answer. Thanks.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I feel bad.
That,
I feel like a jerk.
I'm sorry,
like,
I mean to minimize your answer.
Shut
I'm
up,
so
everyone.
Sorry. That's right.
Stop singing.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Kelly. It's been a
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Of course.
Melissa and I are big fans of yours, by the way.
I'm big fans of yours.
So,
I love you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have somebody. And for the record, we did not mention, Kelly is not a sworn law enforcement officer.
Nope.
She is what I guess we would call non-sworn or civilian.
Mm-hmm.
And like other civilians within our agency, dispatchers, administrative technicians, forensics, everywhere within the agency, and I can't mention them all, we support, because I work in the 911 center, so we support operations.
Yes.
And operations do incredible work, right? Melissa, you're in the field as we speak. But there's no way that the quality of work would get done the way it does if it wasn't for support divisions, units, and so forth in our agency. So you deserve a lot of credit for what you do. You and your team deserve a ton of credit because you speak, and on a this is serious, you speak for the victims when they cannot speak for themselves. You answer the questions that we don't have an answer to right now because you go out there and you seek it in the field when you show up. And the meticulousness of your work is what solves these cases. And the commitment, those 8 days, in a, that commitment right there is unparalleled in any other work. So much appreciated.
Well, thank you. But honestly, I couldn't do it without you guys that are sworn. The investigators who helped put the pieces together with us, but then also the officers who keep me safe at a crime scene.
Yeah.
I can focus on what I have to do and not have to worry about my safety. And that's huge.
It does really take a team.
It's a big team effort.
Mm-hmm. So, Melissa, we're on a whole bunch of platforms. People can see us pretty much everywhere across the World Wide Web as well.
Anywhere they get their podcasts.
Yeah, on television, YouTube.
Spotify, Apple, yeah. Google. We're everywhere.
Yeah. Absolute pleasure. Thanks again. Appreciate
you. Thank you, guys.
You're wonderful. So is your mother.
Outstanding lady. Thank you. I'll tell her you said so.
Please do. Mom. That's right. Hey, Shirley. Thanks for joining us, folks. Cheers.